I wish the Lord would be pleased to help us. We would seek to consider words that we read together in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And we may read just now at verse 30. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And especially the words of verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Well, we have a wonderful meeting in the temple at this time. When Christ and his parents came to offer the sacrifices that were required by the law of Moses for the ending of her purification and the dedication of the firstborn child to the Lord. Pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which shows that they were not wealthy people. They were of the poorer kind, because these were the sacrifices that were allowed for the poor. The wealthier had to offer a richer sacrifice, something that cost them more, such as a bullock or a goat or a lamb. And they meet here in the temple with some of the godly who were in Jerusalem at this time. And although the cause of true religion was low in Israel, the Lord had reserved for himself a people. And we see the beauty of their piety, their godliness, their spirituality in the lives of such as Simeon here and Anna, of Zacharias, of Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptist, of Joseph and Mary themselves, and even in the shepherd's case. They were godly people, and they were waiting for the coming of Christ. And the Spirit revealed, the Holy Spirit, it revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a wonderful privilege he was going to be given on this day, at this time, that meeting. So he was there at the threshold of the temple, and the parents, Mary, his mother, and Joseph, who was married, as you know, to Mary, coming in to the temple at the same time, and Christ there in the midst. Jesus was in the midst. This meeting. And when the godly meet together, when the godly meet together in the worship of his name, and in the courts of his house, and in the ordinances of the Lord, if Christ is not there, friend, there'll be no blessing. Christ was there on this occasion, and that is what we are to seek spiritually, the presence of the Lord. Did you seek it today, coming into the house of God? Were you seeking a meeting with Christ? It's good to meet with the godly. It's good to be associating with the godly. It's good to be in the house of God. Good if you can say truly in your soul's experience, I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates, our feet shall standing be. Not just the physical gates, not just the physical precincts of the church of God in this church, in this building, but are your feet within the circumference of the circle of the godly? Do you know what it is to enter into his gates with praise and to have a meeting with Christ? Now we see that Simeon was brought to rejoice in the Christ who he was already trusting in. He was a gracious man. He was looking and longing for Christ. But here he gets a meeting with him, and his soul is filled with joy. And that's the first thing that we would like to consider, as the Lord would be pleased to help us today, that Simeon was rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are to test ourselves by that, dear friends. Do you rejoice in Christ Jesus? That was a mark of the godly that Paul gives to the Philippians. They rejoice in Christ Jesus, and they have no confidence in the flesh. Well, that was certainly true of Simeon, and good for you and good for me if that were true of us also, that you could rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's try and, with the Lord's help, to seek to bring forth the things that Simeon's soul was taken up with and was rejoicing in connection with Christ. That's the first thing then, that Simeon was rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, to go away from the house of God rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be a Sabbath in your soul indeed, my dear friend. And then in the second place, we would like to consider that Simeon rejoiced in hope for the future. He not only had a good hope for himself, he could say that, "Now lettest thy servant depart in peace." And it's only a truly godly person, it's only someone who is taken up with and trusting in Christ that can say that. He had hope for the future, not only for himself, clearly, but for the church of God and for the nations of the world. He was seeing the extent of Christ's kingdom in a most wonderful way, extending to all the nations of the world. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." An unbounded, glorious view of the extent of the government of Christ's kingdom throughout the nations of the world. Simeon was filled with rejoicing at the prospect of this glorious hope. There's a hope for sinners in the world. There's a hope for the church of God. However low and languishing it was in Simeon's day, however low and dismal things are in our own day, for the nations of the world, the Jews and the Gentiles, Simeon was seeing it. Are you seeing it? Are you rejoicing in the hope of it? That's what he got in the temple that day. Little wonder then, dear friends, that he could say, "Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace." Well, first of all then, Simeon was rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Christ was revealed to him. He knew who this child was. That's a remarkable thing. Think of all the children that were coming in. Think of the thousands of children that would be brought to the temple. And they, Simeon and Anna and these other godly ones, they would be seeing children being brought in to be dedicated to the Lord constantly. But there was something about this child that he had never seen in any other. There was something unique. There was something wonderful about this one. And the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, who he was. And he had faith to believe that report. He could not deny what the Lord revealed to him. If you don't believe in Christ, friend, it's because the Holy Spirit has not revealed it to you. It's not because there's any lack of evidence. It's because of the blindness of our minds and the ignorance and darkness of our understanding and the perversity of our wills and the corruption of our affections and our alienation from the Lord. We remain in darkness. These things have to be revealed to us. And they were revealed to Simeon by the Holy Ghost. This was the Christ of God. It was revealed to him. But he had a prior revelation that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That was a wonderful token. That was a wonderful extra blessing. But he had something else revealed to him. Long before all this, he came to know the Lord as his Savior. Before Christ was even born into the world. And it's on the foundation of that that all these other blessings flow to his soul. We can't experience the tokens, the encouragements, the blessings that others experience personally between themselves and the Lord. We can't enter into the Christian experience of another believer. These things that Simeon were given here were wonderful, extraordinary revelations of the Spirit to his soul. And no man can intermeddle with that joy. But what every sinner saved by grace in the Old Testament church and in the New Testament church, everyone who is wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, they come to receive and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. As he is revealed in the word, according to thy word. You see, that's what he's resting on. He's not resting the hope of his salvation on his feelings or his experiences or these marvelous revelations, extraordinary revelations he got. He's resting his soul salvation on the revelation of Christ in the gospel. That's what he's saying, according to thy word, in verse 29. He's resting everything on the good report of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And is that true of you, dear friend? You may not attain it to the knowledge and the experiences and some of the marvelous encouragements and tokens that some of the Lord's people in some periods of the church have attained to. But there's a free and a full offer of mercy to you as a sinner. And you are required and you are encouraged to lay hold of Christ for yourself. Whatever else Simeon experienced, he had Christ's grace in his heart before he met with him physically here in the temple this day. These things are all revealed by the Holy Spirit. Saving faith is the work of God's Holy Spirit. And he makes Christ precious to the soul. He enlightens the eyes in the knowledge of salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You could say that with his physical eyes that day. But for many a day before it, he could say it spiritually. He was looking unto Jesus, yet to come. He was looking to Christ and the promises. That's what the godly in the Old Testament were longing for. They were looking for the coming of Christ, the Savior of the world, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That's what his soul was resting on, God's promise of a Savior. Now that Savior has come. Now that Savior has finished his work. You, dear friend, are to believe in him. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Holy Spirit is able to reveal Christ to your soul. You're to ask God to send the Holy Spirit into your heart to enable you to believe, to enable you to repent, that you would know the things that are freely given in the gospel. And that's what God's people are longing for, that these things would be confirmed to them. They would get clearer views of Christ. They would see more and more of the glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ spiritually. whatever their frames, whatever their feelings, however distant they may feel themselves to be, the soul resting upon Christ and the word of the truth of the gospel, that soul is saved for eternity on the merits of Christ's death. That's the only safe place to rest, dear friend. And when you come into the house of God, and when you search the scriptures, and when you go to the throne of grace, are you not looking for the Holy Spirit to confirm these things to you? Confirm to me thy gracious word, which I did gladly hear, even to thy servant, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear. We read in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 2 there, that these things are revealed by the Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It's only the Holy Spirit that can give you an assurance of your knowledge and your interest in Christ. It's only the Holy Spirit that can make the sinner willing to receive Christ. It's only the Holy Spirit, friend, through the Word, that can confirm to you that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That's what Simeon had. He had a marvelous experience of Christ here this day, but it was based on the fact that he was already trusting in Christ through the Word of the gospel for his salvation. In the promises. Where are you resting your soul for eternity? Now, Simeon not only had grace and these things were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, but he was getting a view of the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was what was filling his soul with joy. He was seeing the glory of Christ. It's the contemplation of the glory of Christ that fills the soul with joy. The Lord's people are often wondering, do they have true saving faith? Do they have the experiences of God's people? Are they deluding themselves? Well, they're to ask this question, what would give you joy? What would give you joy and delight in your soul, friend? And if it is a view of the glory of Christ, then that is something that Simeon had. That is something that belongs to the godly. A view spiritually of the glory of Christ. That's what makes the soul rejoice. The glory of thy people Israel. And the shepherds, we read earlier on in the chapter, they saw the glory of the Lord. That was a physical manifestation in the heavens, an outshining of something of the light of heaven, and it overawed them. But to truly see the glory of Christ is not a physical experience. It's a spiritual experience. It's something that takes place in the soul. It's something that cannot be described in physical terms. To see the glory of Christ is a spiritual reality. And unless you have faith in Christ, you cannot behold his glory. When the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to the soul of a sinner, the sinner comes to see something that they never saw in Christ before. They heard of him with the hearing of the ears, but now the eye of their soul beholds him. They behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What does that mean? What does John meaning there in John chapter 1, when he said, we beheld his glory? It means that they were seeing, and God's people see it by faith, But this is none other. This person, Simeon, had the child in his arms, just a baby, the same as any other baby in his appearance. But he was seeing the glory of God in this person. He was seeing something extraordinary and heavenly and spiritual and wonderful and glorious that didn't belong to anyone else. It was the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It was the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person shining out of this baby in his arms. What a wonderful sight that must have been, dear friends. He didn't see it with the eye of his body. He saw it with his soul. The Holy Spirit revealed it to his soul. And that's what he does. He gives you a view of the glory, the excellence, the majesty, the divine, wonderful person of the eternal Son of God manifest in the flesh. This is what the Israelites, the godly Israelites, the Simeons and the Annas were longing to see. Are you longing to see it, dear friend? That in this person dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is infinite, eternal and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth. But that child in Simeon's arms was upholding the universe by the word of his power. As we said, quoting words of another recently, the Ancient of Days, the babe of a span. Simeon was seeing by faith the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you've seen that glory, friend, it changes you. You can never be the same person again. You got a view by faith, revealed to you by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And you saw in the doctrines and in the promises and in the finished work, you saw something of an infinite majesty. And glory and excellence and power and loveliness and merit and beauty that is unparalleled, that is from heaven, that is unique, that is eternal, that can never change, that can never be excelled. Are you seeing anything of it? That's what Simeon was seeing in a measure. Yes, only through a glass darkly here in this world. But have you got a little glimpse, a little peep at the glory of Christ? He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Yes, he's speaking firstly there of the physical eyes of his body. What a privilege, what an extraordinary token of divine favor was granted specially to Simeon on that day. And if the Lord gives you a token, a special token of his favor, you won't get it on other days. He only got it once in his life. But his soul wasn't resting on the physical sight of Christ. His soul was resting on the spiritual sight of Christ. That's what makes all the difference, friend. There were multitudes, there were thousands, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, who physically saw the Lord Jesus Christ with their eyes. But they never received him or rested upon him for salvation. And what would it do you? What good would it do you if you saw a view, if it were possible for you to see a physical view of Christ? That's what Rome is looking for. That's why they're making all these statues and idols and pictures and all the rest of it. All that abominable superstition and idolatry. they want a carnal faith and a carnal Christ, a physical religion for unspiritual souls. What I mean by that is souls that have not been quickened by the Spirit to life. Man wants to bring God down to his own level. But Simeon is seeing the salvation of God with the eye of the soul, wrought by the Holy Spirit. He's seeing spiritual light. In that purest light of thine, we clearly light shall see. He's getting spiritual light. His eyes are being enlightened more and more in the knowledge of Christ. That's a thing you're to ask for, dear friend, that the Lord would give you spiritual light, that he would give you spiritual understanding, that you would see Jesus, that you would come up to the house of God saying, "Sirs, we would see Jesus. I want a sight of Jesus in my soul's experience. I want to know him. I want to know more about him. I want to know more of his word. I want to know his promises. I want them to be blessed to my soul. I want to know his blood. I want to know his spirit. I want to know life in my soul through him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him. I want to be like him, and I want to be with him forever." That's what Simeon was saying. "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, here embodied in this blessed, glorious, holy child Jesus. It's the salvation of God. It's the provision of God for the salvation of the world, for the salvation of lost men, Jews and Gentiles, for the salvation of sinners in Dingwall. This glorious child must come into the world, God manifest in the flesh, to be a saviour for sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what it says earlier on. Verse 21, "The circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Oh, is the name Jesus precious and sweet to you, my dear friend? Jehovah saves. That's what Mary was saying. "My soul hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour." "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And we believe concerning Simeon that he would be feeling his need of that salvation more and more, the nearer and nearer he was drawing to eternity. He was an old man, no doubt, an old believer, an experienced, aged saint. He was drawing near the confines of the never-ending eternity. He was being ripened for eternal glory. He'd lived a life of faith, of love, of holiness, of nearness to the Lord. But he feels his need of salvation as much as ever. And is that true of you today? Oh, child of grace, you've been on the road, as it were, many a long day, many a hard, many a dark day, and you're in need of Christ's grace as much as you ever were. You're feeling your need of sanctifying grace more than ever. You look towards the great eternity. You look to the grave, you look to the article of death, and these things solemnize your soul in a way that they never did in years past. The reality of dismissing your spirit and leaving the body and leaving the world and everything you knew in this world, it's a great reality. Sometimes the Lord's people who had assurance and comfort all their lives, more or less, that leaves them towards the very end. They have to leave all their experiences. They have to leave all their attainments. They can't rest on that. And they have to cast themselves anew on Christ in the promises of the gospel. We heard of a godly man who was nearing the end and he was examining himself for his hope for eternity. And he said he was like a man in a boat on a river. And he said he had to throw out everything. This experience, that experience, this deliverance, that providence, whatever it was, he couldn't rely on these things. It had to take him safely over the Jordan. But he said he was left with nothing in the boat but himself and Christ. And he said, and he wasn't going to throw Christ out of the boat. So Simeon, he's to the very end leaning upon the beloved coming up from the wilderness. He could not be separated from Christ. He could not be separated from the love of God in Christ. And those who are feeling their need of his grace more and more and more, friend, you will never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Whatever tribulations, whatever sorrows, death, principalities, powers, heights, depths, or any other creature, they shall never. They didn't separate Simeon from the love of Christ, and they will not separate you. But you see, Simeon saw the cost of salvation. He saw the cost at which salvation was purchased. And you see that later on in the passage here. From verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He could see that there was a sword connected with this child, that though this child was for the salvation of the world, the only saviour for sinners in the world, but he would bring a sword with him, a sword of division, a sword of suffering. And Mary, you are highly favoured to bear Christ into the world, as it were, in that way, in the incarnation. But oh, what pains and sorrows it will be attached to your experience, Mary, when you see your son crucified on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what desolation you will feel in your soul on that day. Because the sword of the sufferings of the Lord's people and their afflictions is not to be compared with the sword of divine justice, which shall pierce into his soul. Whatever sorrows, Mary, you will have, says Simeon, and there will be many in following Christ. You will have tribulation, Mary, and all who will follow Christ in this world. But were it not that he would endure the cross and take the sword of divine justice in your room and place, then it would be a far greater sword. It would be a far more severe and terrible and never-ending sword that would pierce your soul to all eternity. He was seeing something of the cost of following Christ, but above all the cost at which Christ would purchase redemption and save his people from their sins. His soul must be made an offering for sin. It pleased the Father to bruise him. When thou makest his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You see how Simeon's faith was so much in advance of that of the disciples even, as well as that of the ordinary Jews. They didn't want a suffering Saviour. They didn't want a suffering Messiah. They wanted a great emperor, a great conqueror, a great political ruler. But no, Simeon, beholding the glory of Christ, sees the cost at which Christ will purchase salvation for his people, nothing less than a sword. And dear friend, did you ever get a sword in your soul on account of your sin? Did you ever get a sword in your soul on account of the sufferings? That they're involved in bearing witness to Christ in an evil day, in an evil generation. Count the cost, who would profess Christ. Count the cost of following Christ, but weigh it all up in the light of this. You will get a sword of suffering, of persecution, of tribulation following Christ in this world. Mary was not exempt from it. You will not be exempt from it. But what is that in comparison with a sword piercing your soul in the sorrows of hell forever? You must choose, sinner. You must choose, precious soul. What will it be? Well, he saw that Christ would bring salvation at such great cost. And he rejoiced in this. He rejoiced in the salvation of God. And spiritual joy, dear friend, flows from a view of the glory of Christ by faith, putting your hope and confidence in him for the first time or again and again. That is where spiritual joy comes from. It's the soul being taken up with Christ, rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And again I say rejoice. Paul was in a prison when he said that, when he wrote to the Philippians. He was in a prison on trial for his life. How many prisoners on death row are rejoicing? If you have spiritual joy in your heart, you can be at the stake in the midst of the flames, and Christ will give you heaven there to alleviate the afflictions and the sorrows of your circumstances. But if you don't have Christ in your heart, the hope of glory, then all your joys will be turned to sorrow at last. Whatever peace you have in sin today, my dear friend, whatever false peace you have in view of an endless eternity, young or old, it's all going to be taken away. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But the righteous shall have an abundant peace. That's how Simeon departed this world. That's what we long for you, that when you come to the end of your days, whether sooner or later, that you would be in the same state and in the same condition even as Simeon here, resting upon the word of the truth of the gospel. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. How are you going to leave this world, friend? In what state will you be when soul and body sunder, when the sword and the sickle of death cut you down? Will your soul be rejoicing in Christ Jesus and saying, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word? Now we see also here, before we finish today, that Simeon had hope for the future, and he rejoiced in that. The future was not a cause of undue sorrow and anxiety to him, because he knew that it was all in the Lord's purpose, and it was a glorious purpose. That God's covenant mercy would embrace not only the Jews, but all the nations of the world, See, this is the thing. The Old Testament church, it was a different religion from modern Judaism. We mustn't think that modern Judaism and the Old Testament saints had the same religion. The Spirit of God has gone from modern Judaism. Christ is not there. The blessing of God is not there. It's a mere outward form. It's a synagogue of Satan, as Revelation teaches us. The true religion of the saints in the Old Testament was embracing the salvation of the whole world. All nations shall call him blessed, says David. Think of these glorious promises that we have in Isaiah, we were trying to speak of recently, that the ships of Tarshish shall come. They shall flock like doves to their windows. Think of all these promises concerning the land of Sinim and the east and the west and the north, the south, and all the nations of the world, bringing their storehouses, bringing their wealth into the church of God. The Old Testament saints like Simeon here, they were hoping for the salvation of all the nations of the world. They weren't narrowly confining their thoughts just to Israel. That was what the Pharisees did. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He has prepared before the face of all people the Lord's purposes prepared from a beginningless eternity, now coming to pass in the coming of Christ into the world. And Simeon is rejoicing in this. Do you rejoice in the salvation of sinners throughout the whole world, friend? Are you praying for it? Would you be delighted to hear of it? A revival in the church of God somewhere in the earth. A sinner here, a sinner there. This man and that man there, born in Zion. You have it in Psalm 87 there. Not just Zion, but Babel and Ethiopia and Rahab. That's Egypt. That's Babylon. That's Ethiopia, the east countries that were most against Israel. They've been born again. You have it there in Isaiah chapter 19. There's a prophecy there concerning the enemies being brought in to the kingdom. In that day there shall be an highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. Again in chapter 27 of Isaiah, it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. All the nations of the world are going to be converted to the gospel. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And Christ spiritually from his throne in heaven, it will reign over Zion through the gospel, through the rod of his strength. And we are to pray for that day. Simeon was seeing it and rejoicing in it. The ingathering of the Jews, the evangelization of the Gentile world, the light of the gospel going forth, those who sit in darkness seeing a great light. Oh, have you seen that light yourself, dear friend? Have you been effectually called, enlightened in the knowledge of Christ? If you are and if you have been, then you will rejoice as Simeon did in the prospect of all nations calling him blessed. And you'll be praying for that day earnestly. The darker the day is, the more you'll pray for light. It's a mark of grace that the love that you have for Christ, you would desire that multitudes, it would be ingathered that they would come to know it for themselves. Did we not say before of the woman who said that the difference between the love that she had for her husband and the love she had for Christ was this: she would not share the love she had for her husband with any other, but the love that she had for Christ, she would wish that the whole world would come to taste it and know it. Ah, friend, there's enough grace in Christ. There's all sufficient grace in Christ. There's an infinity of love in Christ in the covenant of grace. There's an infinity of merit, of power, of blessedness, of glory. Will you not come to know his saving love and his glory as a saviour in your own soul, and then pray that multitudes of others would come to know it also? That's what Simeon had, and it filled his soul with joy. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel, glorying in Christ Jesus. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say that today? If the cross of Christ is glorious, if the humiliation and sufferings of Christ is glorious to put away your sin, oh, how glorious Christ will be to you in his exaltation. Not just in the millennial glory of the church on earth that we've been speaking of, but at the great day and in heaven forever. He shall sit upon the throne of his father David forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Will you be found among those like Simeon and Anna, who came to the temple in Jerusalem to worship him and went away rejoicing? Will you be found in the heavenly temple, in the Zion above, where there will be no dismissing, where there will be no parting? Christ was in his arms by faith, and Simeon was embraced in the everlasting arms of Christ. That was a union that will never be dissolved. And if you are desiring to hold Christ in the arms of faith, friend, it is because Christ is embracing you in the arms of his everlasting love. The everlasting God is thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. May he bless his word to us. O Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word to us, and that we would be given a glimpse of the glory of Christ in his person and work, and that our souls would rejoice in thee. O blessed one, that thou wouldst seal these things upon the souls of thy people, and may they have a sanctifying influence, and it may sinners be converted unto thee, enlightened in the knowledge of Christ, and made to go on their way rejoicing. Be pleased to remember all in need, and those in darkness. Remember those, Lord, in the dark places of the earth, that the gospel would be sent forth with power, the bringing down of the strongholds of Satan, and the ingathering of multitudes to the Saviour. Remember sick and afflicted and mourning ones among us, in hospital, in the homes of care, and those detained. Be a little sanctuary to them. Raise up those who would fear thee, and those who would declare something of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Come out with us in the evening, Pardon our many sins and take us to our homes in safety. For Jesus' sake, amen.